The Call of Islam presents Distortions of Ashura.
Ashura, Popular Distortions and Our Responsibility by Martyr Murtaza Mutahari.
قضایای کربلا قضایای روشنی و سراسر این قضایان افتخار آمیز است.
Hence, the developments of relating to Karbala are quite clear, and all of them are throughout a matter of great honor and pride. But we have disfigured this shining historic event to such an extent and have committed such a monstrous treachery towards Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, that if he were to come and see, he will say, "You have changed the entire face of the event. I am not the Imam Hussein that you have sketched out in your own imagination. The Qasib ibn Hassan that you have painted in your fancy is not my nephew. The Ali Akbar that you have faked in your imagination is not my aware and intelligent son. The companions that you have carved out are not my companions. We have fabricated a Qasim whose only desire is to become a bridegroom and whose uncle's wish too is to have him wedded. Contrast this one with the historical Qasim. Reliable sources report that on the night of Ashura, the Imam, peace be upon him, gathered his companions in a tent, whose location was the place where water used to be kept or near it. There he delivered that very well-known sermon of the night preceding Ashura. I do not want to mention its details here, but to put it briefly, in this sermon the Imam told them that every one of them was free to depart and leave him to confront the enemy alone. The Imam did not want anybody to stay just for the considerations of courtesy or to remain out of compulsion or even to think that they were obliged to do so by virtue of their allegiance, bayah, that they had given him. Hence he tells them, "You are all free, my companions, members of my family, my sons, my nephews, everyone, to leave without being liable to anything. They, the enemy's forces, have nothing against anyone except me. The night is dark. Take advantage of the darkness of the night and depart. They will definitely not stop you." At first he expresses his appreciation for them and tells them, "I am most pleased with you. I do not know of any companions better than mine, and no better relatives than the members of my family." But all of them tell him in unison that such a thing was impossible. What answer will they give to the Prophet on the day of resurrection? What will happen to loyalty, to humanity, to love and attachment? Their ardent responses and their words said on that occasion would melt a heart of stone and are most moving. One of them says, "Is one life worth enough to be sacrificed for someone like you? I wish that I were brought to life 70 times to die 70 times for your sake." Another says, "I would lay down 1,000 lives for your sake if I had them." Another says, "If I were to sacrifice my life for you and my body were burnt to ashes and the ashes were cast to the wind, were this done 100 times, I would still love to die for your sake." The first to speak was the brother Abul Fadl, and then the Imam changed the subject and told them about the events of the next day, informing them that they would all be killed. All of them receive it as a great good news. These are the things that have made this a great historic event, and we should keep it alive, for there will not be another Hussein, nor another Qasib ibn Hassan.